You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. This is WGOD Radio. Hey, God is always broadcasting. All we need to do is flip the dials, go to where he's speaking. He's always has a word for you. Always. You just got to go to, like I said, go to where he's speaking. He speaks through the word of God. This is how we always get a word from him. When we read, "Thus saith the Lord," we're about to get into that here coming up in a minute. We have an awesome look here, and I love these first three chapters, or actually the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. It's not prophecy at all. This is an awesome revealing of the Son of God like never before. It's not like the Gospels, what he's saying here. Now, this is 60 years after he ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and they said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come back again in like manner as ye saw him go." Now, 60 years after that, John is transported into heaven on the Lord's day, and the Lord dictates to him these seven letters to write to seven churches. There was 1,000 churches. Why just seven? Well, this number seven is an important number in the book of Revelation. It means completeness. It's the number for God, seven. Six is a number for man, we've read before. There's significance to numbers in the Bible, like 10 and 40 and 12. A 10 is a number of testing. Numbers are significant. I invite you guys to church this weekend here. We'd love to see you. We are in. I will be preaching out of Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at the whole chapter here coming up, starting again from the top. Awesome study that we're having through the book of Hebrews here. And we're going to look to see that we are enrolled. You know, it's so many things here on earth are copies of the original up in heaven. The ark is a copy. The temple was a copy. Now we see that there's a church roll up in heaven. And I love that song, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." The members are enrolled in the church of the firstborn. Count me in. There's a church. I want to have my name on the rolls. How about you? That's where we're going to be here. Hebrews chapter 12, Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. We're at 1,000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. Pastor Darren will be heading up a new study here coming up in the book of Colossians, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Sunday mornings, we're getting ready to wrap up the book of Hebrews here next week. In a few weeks, I'll be starting a little short series on Moses, the man of faith. That'll last for 5 weeks. So those are some of the things coming on here, going on here at Island. If you like this radio program, I invite you to attend one of our services to worship the Lord Jesus Christ here at Island Community Church. Now let's get started. Some of the highlights here of what the Lord said to the church here. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. He says, "Now to the messenger of the church in Thyatira," right? "Thus says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works and love and faith and service and your endurance. And your last works are greater than the first." That's where we left off last week, or yesterday, I'm sorry. We were looking at this word endurance, hupomeno, means to abide under. It's like a spiritual compound that gets developed when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and submit to Him when you find yourself under great trials in your life. That's why the Bible can tell you, and it's not preposterous at all. It's a spiritual truth, like walking on water. And that is, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that. Now, here comes that Greek word in action. Knowing that the testing of your faith develops. Hupomeno. Endurance. The King James and the New King James call it patience. It's developed in you when you trust in God, when you are undergoing and enduring trials out here. So the Lord commends them for having this here. I know your works. I know your love. I know your faith. I know your diakonos, service. And I know your hupomeno. And your last works are greater than the first. Then verse 20 says, now he's going to start with what's wrong with this, with the problems here at this church. Remember, and now this is, again, our proof. He's writing this to a man. He's not writing to an angel. He said, I've got this against you, that you tolerate your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, maybe you say, I've never heard that before. My Bible doesn't say that. Something's wrong with your Bible. Well, my Bible is what's known as a majority text Bible. If you have a New King James, you'll notice in the center column reference or on the bottom of the page, many times, a capital M. That means majority text. That is a Bible that comes from the majority of all Greek manuscripts that are known to man, that are in existence. Now here, the majority of Greek manuscripts here read your wife, because the Greek word for wife and woman is the same word. But when the possessive pronoun is thrown in there, the woman of you, your woman, you have to translate that as wife. It's the same Greek word. The woman of yours. He's talking to the pastor here. I've got this against you, that you tolerate your woman or your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time so that she might repent, and she does not wish to repent of her fornication. Behold, I am casting her into a sick bed. That's the Greek word kline, means a stretcher. He says, if you guys don't knock this out, if you guys don't get rid of this woman who thinks that she is a prophetess, if you don't get rid of this woman and if you don't repent of her works, I'm going to haul this woman out of here on a stretcher. And not only that, he's not done. Verse 23 says, and I will kill her children with death. And then all the churches shall know that I am he who searches minds and hearts. That's some translations say reins. That means your intestines. You know, like that old saying, oh, I had a gut feeling about something. He can search your gut feelings, that you know that you should have done something and you didn't. There's no hiding. We all stand naked and bare before him to whom we must give an account. I will kill her children with death. Certainly doesn't sound like the Lord Jesus we're all remember here in the four Gospels. Knock this off, or else I will not tolerate a spiritual leader of the church corrupting the church. Now let's build off of that here today. Again, starting with these attributes of himself. Thus says the Son of God. Pay no attention to the naysayers out here that say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Oh, yeah? Sure he did. You're just ignorant. And people pray, they hope that you are ignorant as well. God said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. don't believe these lies out here that say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Sure he did. Right here, he calls himself the Son of God. That makes him God. Even the demons believe that. They said, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. That's God's Son. It's the Son of God. The Lord himself said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He called himself Jehovah. He said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. I am God, he says. He is God. That's why they picked up stones to throw at him and kill him, because he called himself Jehovah. Because he is God. Thomas bowed the knee to him and said to him, my Lord and my God. And he received that worship because he is due and worthy of all worship, because Jesus Christ is God. Don't ever forget it. Don't let anyone ever deceive you. Jesus Christ is God. John wrote in John 1:1, that verse that the Jehovah's Witnesses hate so much, they've got to write their own Bible because of that verse. They hate it so much, they got to come up with their own Bible. In the beginning, anarche, anho logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God. He said his eyes are like a flame of fire. That is, he'll look right through you. He is the one who searches reins. He searches your gut feelings. Feet like fine brass, signifying strength and purity. Verse 19, I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your hupomeno. So he commends them for those five things, their works. The Lord knows their works. The Lord knows your works. Let me ask you again today, is that a good thing? Or is that a bad thing? The Lord knows your works. He searches reins. He knows your gut feeling. What are you doing out here today for Jesus Christ? What are you doing? Are you supporting your church that's doing it? Are you supporting missionaries or ministries that are getting the word out? Or food pantries or those? Remember, the Lord said, and as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Or the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. The Lord knows your works. I encourage you to be about the Lord's business. And I believe this is what this means in Hebrews 9:28. It says he's coming again a second time apart from sin, meaning no one's going to pull his beard out anymore or spit in his eye. He's coming a second time apart from sin to all of us, you and me alike, to everyone that's looking for him or eagerly awaiting him. And as we do that, that is evident in us serving him by what we're doing out here today on this third day of July 2025. What are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? We eagerly await him by being his hands and feet here on earth. He knows our works. So he commends them for those things. He knows their works. He knows their love. That's the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The greatest commandment, naturally, it's the greatest transgression if we get that wrong. He knows their service. He knows their faith. Remember Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. These things all work together. For as the body without the spirit is dead, James wrote, so faith without works is dead. What are you doing for Jesus Christ today? Faith that is saying that you are a Christian without works, that is doing something to advance the kingdom, using the spiritual gifts that God's given you, faith without works is dead. Being by itself, or the King James says, being alone. That is your faith stranded somewhere on a desert island, all by itself, not doing anything. You and I are going to give an account for what we've done with what the Lord has given us. Then lastly, he says, again, he knows their endurance, hupomeno. something that gets developed on the inside of you. It's a spiritual fortitude that through osmosis, that is a mix of one part trial and one part waiting on the Lord, and then 10 parts power of God, transforms you, my friend, into a spiritual giant. Catch the formula again. One part trial, one part you waiting on the Lord. Remember, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Those who wait, and wait, I say, on the Lord. He says it twice in Psalm 27 as well. Wait on the Lord. One part trial, one part waiting on the Lord. And then God does his part. And that's 10 parts of the power of God to transform you into a spiritual giant. This is where the endurance comes from. Trusting in God through trials. Granted, some people sure had a lot of hoopamone in them, especially back in the day when they were setting Christians, dipping them in oil and setting them on fire to light their arena there. They didn't have lights in the stadium at night, so they had to make their own lights. And they made their own lights by dipping the Christians in oil and lighting them. The other Christians, they fed to the lions. Good Lord, how does a person get through that? Maybe we read that and hear that and say, you know what? I could never do that. I could never survive or persevere if I was alive back then. Friend, this is the only way to survive and persevere, no matter when this happens. Trust God, submit to Him, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Trust God when you are undergoing this adversity and this strength and this power of God will be yours. This, God uses trials to transform you, that you will be just like David and just like these other ones. And God, you see, God is trying to do that today in you. You're not waiting for a lion. He's using it today. He's using maybe a sickness today. He's using a something else, some other trial in your life right now. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're undergoing, maybe there's a health issue. Maybe there's something else, some other great trial you are enduring. God is using that today to build this in you. It doesn't have to be a lion or feeding you to the lion. It's you not having the money to pay your rent. It's you being homeless, jobless, don't know what you're going to do, end of your rope. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Then he says here, for good measure, since the Lord loves work so much, he now says it again to this pastor here. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. But he already commended them for works. Well, he's just did it again. The Lord loves works. The Lord loves works. Things that we... You are God's hands and feet. You serve the Lord Jesus right now. You, it's just like that old Uncle Sam poster. He's pointing at you and he says, I want you. He's chosen you to serve him. And at the end of the age, when he returns, we will give an account for what we've done with what he's given us. So, okay, well, he says the last works are greater than the first, meaning their works were growing. The things that they were doing as Jesus' hands and feet were increasing. So how can we do the same? Answer, I would say, by increasing our outreach. Supporting ministries, food pantries, radio broadcasts. You know, some people help and support this radio broadcast. Maybe you help and support one of the other radio ministries here that are on the radio. As the old manager here for 20 years on the radio, checks, people would come in all the time to support. And these ministries did, from Charles Stanley to Adrian Rogers to John MacArthur to Tony Evans. you're doing God's work by supporting the preachers that are preaching the word of God out there. And as much as you've done it to the least of these, Jesus says, you've done it to me. People come in and support our food pantry all the time. You don't have to have a food pantry, but support those that do. So he commends them that their works are increasing. All right, so that's it for the commendation. Now let's see why this church, who so far seemed to be doing okay, let's see why this church is remembered as the corrupt church. Starts with the word, nevertheless. That's verse 20. Nevertheless, that is in spite of all the goods that you're doing out here in Thyatira, nevertheless, even so, amen, in spite of all the good that you're doing, I've got a few things against you, pastor. Because you allow that woman or your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Imagine this, the pastor's wife, if that reading is correct. The pastor's wife. Notice, no one else calls her a prophetess, but she calls herself one, but no one else does. And they should be easy to tell the difference, especially today when there's no need for a prophet anymore today. So that actually makes it very easy today. That applies to anyone who calls himself a prophetess today, because a prophet spoke the word of God, because the word of God wasn't complete, wasn't written down yet. A prophet would get up in church and say, thus says the Lord, to him who overcomes, I will give them some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. What a revelation that would have been for a prophet to get up and encourage people with the word of God. A prophet would get up and say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You see, you've got that written down now. You don't need a prophet. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, Hebrews 1:1 says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. This is a much easier thing for you and me today. You see, there is no prophetess today or prophet. We've got the word of God complete. A prophet spoke the word of God before it was written down and bound in calfskin or goatskin leather. I have it written down. Go and sin no more, lest something worse happens to you. I have it written down. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I have it written down. What shall we say to these things? If God be for me, who can be against me? I've got it written down now that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have it written down now that the wages of sin is death. I don't need a prophet to tell me that. All I got to do is crack open my Bible today, and it's all there. These were the things that a prophet spoke. Not where Aunt Josephine hid her secret stash of yodels, or where Uncle Bob hid his will in the wall, or where are that buried treasure is underneath your house. No, when a prophet came to town, man, his knees knocked. Prophets spoke the word of God. You already have the word of God, and it's complete. That which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's the completed word of God. We don't have to wrestle over this like they did then. Nevertheless, he says, I've got a few things against you, because you allow this woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So there's the charge against the pastor of, let's call it, Thyatira Christian Fellowship that has a woman prophetess there, pastor and his wife, pastor, co-pastor, pastor and his wife there is the local prophetess. At least she calls herself that. Certainly Jesus doesn't call her that. A woman's taken a position of prominence and leadership, and has told the people of Thyatira what they want to hear, contrary to the word of God. And there, in his cases, is you can continue to sin. It doesn't matter. I mean, the spiritual leader of the church talking about fornication here and guilty of this. It doesn't matter how you live or you're already forgiven. It doesn't matter. This is a feel-good gospel, sounds like to me. You're saved. Take thine ease, as the Lord said. Doesn't matter how you live. Throw in a little Gnosticism in there. The body's not important, only your spirit. Also, he mentions here that one thing that's lost on us here today in our society, but not in other places around the world, the sin of eating foods that's sacrificed to idols. We had a young man from India who was visiting us here at Island Community Church, and he mentioned to me that this might not be a big deal here, but in India, this was a huge deal. This was a huge offense in a country like that when the spiritual leader was pushing that kind of stuff, eating food sacrificed to idols. So his teacher in the church is causing believers to stumble there in Thyatira because this was a great sin to them. You know what? We are out of time here for today. We're gonna continue this look here. We're in this, looking at this corrupt church in Thyatira. We're listening in. We've broken into the pastor's office, so to speak. We've opened up this letter that this pastor received from the Lord Jesus, and wow, what a scathing letter he is receiving from him. That's where we'll pick it up here at our next program. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, Jesus never promised an easy life for those who follow him. As he says in Matthew 16:24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, John, when Jesus tells his followers to take up that cross, obviously he's not saying we should carry around a literal cross, so what's he getting at there?
You know, I think we often assume that taking up your cross means sort of bearing burdens, a kind of enduring difficulty in life. Sometimes people refer to someone as a real cross to bear, or some illness as a cross to bear. I guess in an extended sense, you could speak of that as a kind of cross, a kind of point of suffering. But the intent of the words of Jesus when he says, take up your cross and follow me, the intent is, this may cost you your life. Everybody knew what a cross was used for at that time. They were not ornaments. There were no miniature crosses. People didn't wear a cross around their neck. They didn't have a cross tattooed somewhere on their body as some kind of a Christian testimony, obviously. A cross was a torture instrument. It had no beauty. It would never be formed into some kind of jewelry or turned into some kind of decoration in the house. Jesus is saying, you follow me to the degree that it might cost you your life. It might lead to your execution. That is the strongest call to discipleship possible. Take up the cross. Follow me.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching from Matthew, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every project with a commitment to impeccable